Crazy times. Trump administration pulls millions of dollars from long COVID grants and then restores them? Plus, MECFS antiviral vaccine funding hit. By Court Johnson, March 29th, 2025. During public testimony before the Senate, RFK Jr. committed to prioritizing long-term COVID research, not just any long-term COVID research. When Senator Young noted that so much recover funding was going to observational research and asked Kennedy if he would prioritize funding for treatment trials and research that would produce biomarkers, Kennedy said, quote, "Absolutely, Senator, with enthusiasm," end quote. And you can see a YouTube link for this at this point in the text version of the article. Burning dollars. 2 days ago, ME Action reported that the DHHS stopped all funding for the $45 million for long COVID recover grants devoted to finding biomarkers, producing biological diagnostic criteria, and uncovering insights that could lead to treatments. All that recover had left were the observational studies and some treatment trials. The studies were on their last legs, with only data analysis to do and the papers left to write. Unless something really strange happens, such as fraud or misuse of funds, neither of which the Trump administration alleges, researchers are typically guaranteed funding throughout the life of the grant. Research grants are not contracts, though, and while grantees can appeal, the wording of the notice made it clear that any appeals will not be successful. With the studies almost complete, the Trump administration gained little by cutting off its funding. It did, though, leave tens of millions of dollars on the table for studies that would have helped understand long COVID and possibly ME/CFS and other post-infectious diseases as well. Megan Fitzgerald, a researcher and person with long COVID, told CNN, quote, "It's crazy to cut off a study at this point. I know there's pushback saying we need to have more fiscal responsibility, but this is the opposite of fiscal responsibility. You're just burning dollars here," end quote. Grants restored? Or is this any way to run the NIH? Yesterday, CNN reported that the recover grants appear to have been restored, and there's a link to that in the text version of the article at this point. They are the only news outlet to do so. Still, let's breathe a big sigh of relief and then wonder a bit at what the heck is going on in the Trump administration. In truth, it hasn't been uncommon to find different parts of the Trump administration at odds with each other. But this swing of events, from outright cancellation to reinstatement within a few days, was remarkable, even for it. Not surprisingly, neither the NIH nor the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, felt compelled to explain how the sausage got made in this case. The long COVID campaign told CNN yesterday, C-Link, that several senators, particularly those on the Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions, HELP, Senators Young and Kane, HELP Chair Cassidy and Ranking Member Sanders worked to preserve the grants. Furthermore, they stated that HHS Secretary Kennedy and NIH Director Bhattacharya's action today on recover research funding will make a powerful difference for the over 17 million Americans with long COVID, especially pediatric patients. All we know is that some faction that was out to get long COVID got squashed in the process. And that's good news for long COVID moving forward. Not that everything is hunky-dory, though. Trump administration closes Office of Long COVID Research. On March 25th, the Scientific American, C-Link, reported that on orders of the Trump administration, the Department of Health and Human Services is shutting down the Office of Long COVID Research and Practice, C-Link. The office coordinated long COVID activities across the DHHS and was apparently quite effective. The Long COVID Advocacy Project wrote, quote, "The office was our strongest ally. The team was deeply empathetic, mission-driven, and understood the urgency of the crisis we are living through. It was the first and only government entity with the ability to unify all HHS agencies to ensure efforts weren't duplicated or contradictory, to establish true coordination, and to finally treat long COVID like the systemic, multi-sector challenge it is. For the first time, we had many efforts underway and ready to launch, and the infrastructure to act as one country. That's all gone now. End quote. Prominent long COVID researcher Ziad Al-Ali stated, quote, the intent of the office was to really catalyze progress and realize efficiencies. Undoing it risks undoing a lot of the work, delaying a lot of progress, and it really is a disservice today to the more than 20 million Americans who are suffering from long COVID, end quote. Other long COVID cuts. As Health Rising reported earlier, the Trump administration also terminated the unpaid advisory committee on long COVID-19, removed long COVID information from federal disability websites, and removed data related to long COVID-19 from the CDC's website. Animus, not efficiency, appears to be driving long COVID cuts. It was hard to find anything efficient about axing a study as it's entering its last legs, nor does it seem to be efficient to close an office whose sole purpose was to make long COVID support at the federal level more effective. How ending an unpaid long COVID advisory panel helps American taxpayers is a mystery. Lastly, removing information on long COVID disability from a federal website or removing long COVID information from a CDC database is hardly going to help the federal government save money. The only thing that can explain all of this appears to be an animus that at least some people in the Trump administration feel toward long COVID. Take HHS spokesperson Emily Hilliard's heated statement regarding the long COVID cuts. Quote, HHS is prioritizing funding projects that will deliver on President Trump's mandate to address our chronic disease epidemic and make America healthy again, end quote. Suggesting that the Trump administration does not think long COVID is a chronic disease. In fact, it appears to believe that long COVID is a mirage. Hilliard, who hopefully will not be in her job much longer, in a rather heated statement, wrote, quote, the COVID-19 pandemic is over. The HHS will no longer waste billions of taxpayer dollars responding to a non-existent pandemic that Americans moved on from years ago, end quote. The approximately 14 to 20 million Americans with long COVID would probably disagree that they've moved on. The fact that the long COVID cutters lost this battle provides hope that they can be sidelined. Long COVID research at the NIH is not dead, after all, or is it? 2 days ago, one thing seemed utterly clear. Long COVID research at the world's largest medical research funder was dead for the next 4 years. No researcher would have taken a chance on a long-term COVID NIH grant, and maybe with this swing of events, they still won't. Who wants to take a chance on which side of the Trump administration will prevail? While the NIH never sufficiently funded ME/CFS, the attack on long COVID research, and it can only be described as an attack given its breadth and depth, is reminiscent of and goes beyond what ME/CFS was subjected to in the earlier 2000s when Anthony Fauci booted ME/CFS out of NIAID and abruptly closed the three NIAID-funded ME/CFS research centers. Lest we forget. ME/CFS was lost until the Little Office of Research on Women's Health picked it up. But the effects on funding were nothing less than catastrophic for the next 15 years. Even so, the Federal Advisory Panel for ME/CFS, CFSAC, and the Special Emphasis Panel for ME/CFS grants remained in place. In other words, while ME/CFS got dropped by NIAID, no attempt was made to erase it as a disease. With the Trump administration temporarily shuttering tens of millions of dollars of ongoing long COVID studies, ending the long COVID office, removing long COVID as a disability from DHHS websites, and removing data on long COVID, this has felt very different. Ian Lipkin's NIH-funded ME/CFS Center gets caught in the crossfire. The recent saga of Ian Lipkin's NIH-funded Center for Solutions for ME/CFS illustrates how politics in the Trump era has become indelibly intertwined with medical research. Accusing Columbia University of not doing enough to combat anti-Semitism and of insufficiently punishing pro-Hamas students who participated in anti-Israel demonstrations, the Trump administration zapped it out of a cool $400 million in research funding 3 weeks ago. 25 years earlier, Columbia turned down a Trump offer to sell his land to it for $400 million. Most of the cuts, which were called unprecedented, involved NIH funding, and they included Ian Lipkin's ME/CFS Center. Rare narrator's edit, thanks, able-bodied pro-Hamas students. 2 weeks ago, facing catastrophic losses, Columbia agreed to overhaul its protest policies, security practices, and Middle Eastern Studies department, hire 36 special officers, ban the use of face masks, etc. Although Education Secretary Linda McMahon stated that Columbia was on a favorable path, the Trump administration has yet to restore full funding. Yesterday, Fierce Biotech, see link, reported that Ian Lipkin's ME/CFS Center was laying off staff at a time when Lipkin asserted that we've begun to see light at the end of the tunnel, and was even in talks with several biotechs, as well as the broader NIH-supported ME/CFS research network, to discuss working together on potential clinical trials. With his ME/CFS Center's grant still terminated, Lipkin said his ability to participate in any sort of research right now is just not there. We can't pay our bills. Emily Taylor, the president of Solve ME, compared the loss to investing millions of dollars into building a car, only to then hit the car with a sledgehammer just as it's ready to drive. She said, quote, "It's just ugly that this vulnerable population and this stepping stone of progress has become a political football," end quote. Promised post-infectious disease and ME/CFS grant packages in limbo. The two National Institute for Neurological Disorders and Stroke NINDS grants for post-infectious diseases, including long COVID and ME/CFS, scheduled to be announced in December, never were. A grant package for ME/CFS, also scheduled to be announced in December, has never appeared. It's possible that the Trump administration's decision to freeze all funding impacted these grants, and they will eventually show up. Time will tell. Antiviral and vaccine research axed. Asserting that the COVID pandemic has ended on March 25th, the Trump administration has also stopped funding $577 million of studies, C-Link, by the Antiviral Drug Discovery Centers for Pathogens of Pandemic Concern, C-Link, that produce vaccines and antivirals for the coronavirus and a host of other viruses, and prepare for the next pandemic. Upgraded antivirals could play a key role in wiping out reservoirs of the coronavirus and, of course, potentially could have been used in ME/CFS and other post-infectious diseases. The cuts were particularly bewildering given that the antiviral centers could have been retained using a no-cost extension that would have precluded using new monies. At least two of the eight federally funded serological sciences centers of excellence that tracked immune responses to the virus in COVID-19 and long-term COVID patients were also terminated. See link. The cuts all seem to be tied to the wish of some individuals in the Trump administration to cut everything related to COVID-19. Given the horrific cost of the COVID-19 pandemic, how it makes sense to cut research that could help with future pandemics is beyond me. One researcher said the Trump administration was, quote, "taking a hammer, not a scalpel, to our efforts to defend against many viral threats, not just COVID-19 and SARS-CoV-2, end quote. Charles Rice, a Nobel Prize-winning virologist at Rockefeller University, called it a, quote, "pointless, ill-advised move that will hurt U.S. science and pandemic readiness," end quote. NIH reorganization bodes poorly for ME/CFS and long COVID. There was hope that an NIH reorganization would help diseases like ME/CFS and long COVID-19. But that now looks dim with political views now guiding research funding. While most diseases are non-political and should not be affected, long-term COVID's association with COVID-19 clearly leaves it in danger of being cut off. Instead of being reviewed by independent scientific advisory committees, the Trump administration announced that one Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, and DHHS official will now review major NIH funding opportunities to ensure they align with the Trump administration's priorities. The NIH has already removed about 100 funding opportunities that dealt with health disparities, gender, minorities, and workforce diversity. But the Trump administration's actions suggest that many other topics, long COVID, antivirals, pathogen research, vaccines, may be rejected as well. It's unclear how this affects diseases like ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, Lyme disease, and post-infectious diseases, but it's not hard to imagine DOGE and DHHS personnel rejecting funding opportunities related to these complex and controversial diseases. That is, if they even get to DOGE, given that the NIH staff may refuse to spend months preparing a funding opportunity that has a good chance of getting axed. Having to pass a DOGE and DHHS filter will only cause the NIH to become even more conservative. Not what NIH Director Bhattacharya said he wanted to have happen at all. The concentration of power in DOGE and the NHHS and plans to reorganize to dramatically reduce the number of institutes also seem at odds with Bhattacharya's plans to create, quote, many more centers of power, end quote, that will engage in more, quote, high-risk, high-reward, end quote, projects. Remarkable changes. A few months have brought remarkable change. Last year, Director Bertagnoli was excited about making a difference with long COVID research, helped make the RECOVER Initiative's treatment trials nimbler and more forward-looking, and acknowledged the need for more ME/CFS research. The RECOVER Initiative had received an infusion of $500 million. The federal long COVID office was apparently clicking on all cylinders. Efforts to create a $1 billion a year post-infectious disease moonshot and a new center for post-infectious diseases were underway, and post-infectious disease and ME/CFS grant packages were on the docket. All that seems like it's at risk now. The NIH workforce is being cut, its funding is under attack, long COVID is fighting for its life, pathogen, antiviral, and vaccine research is being nixed, billions of dollars of NIH grants are still being held up, and somehow one DOGE and one DHHS employee are going to determine the fate of all NIH initiatives. With one hand of the Trump administration not aware of what the other hand is doing, and battles taking place within the administration about which course to take, only time will tell what ultimately happens to long COVID, ME/CFS, and post-infectious diseases at the NIH. What a difference a few months make. Taking action. If you feel these actions will not support ME/CFS, long COVID, and post-infectious disease research, you can take action by calling your congressional officials to tell them to keep long COVID and ME/CFS research funding and push back against DOGE employees deciding the fate of NIH funding initiatives, etc. Medical research has traditionally been a bipartisan issue, and contacting our representatives, particularly those in the House, where the margins are razor thin, can help. Check out ME Action's Long COVID Campaigns Toolkit here at the link in the text version of the article. Please support Health Rising and keep the information flowing. You can give a one-time donation or give monthly at the links at the end of this article before the beginning of the comment section. Thanks for listening.